Welcome to Sports Talk with Tonsoni, the Indiana Baseball Edition. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni, and along with Chris Feeney, Josh Bennett, Cassidy Palmer, and Carl James, we will be bringing you information on Indiana baseball. Hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. This past week, the Hoosiers continued their homestand with a 4-0 week. The Hoosiers were able to win with timely hitting, a lot of hitting in a couple games, and extremely solid starting pitching. On Wednesday, the Hoosiers defeated Western Illinois 11-1. Luke Miller was 2-for-5 with a homer, and Matt Gorski 2-for-2. Both of those guys led an offensive attack that had been struggling at home so far. Wyatt Cross drove in 3 runs with the big double. Connor Maness got the start and picked up the win, going 4 solid innings. And the IU bullpen finished the game last 5 innings, and a solid midweek win, more for simply not losing to an undefeated Western Illinois team. On Friday, we started a 3-game series against Northern Illinois, and the bats were on fire again. The Hoosiers banged out 17 hits while scoring 18 runs, jumping out to a 6-0 lead after the first inning. Logan Kalitha and Matt Lloyd each had 4 hit days on Friday. Luke Miller also continued his hot hitting, going 2-for-3. Jonathan Stever had another solid outing on the mound, going 6 shutout innings, striking out 6, and I believe earning the Big Ten Pitcher of the Week. Is that correct? I believe I saw that today. Andrew Selfrank and Austin Long finished out the win on the mound Friday. Saturday and Sunday saw tighter ball games against Northern Illinois. The Hoosiers had to come from behind to secure a 4-3 victory Saturday against the Huskies. The Huskies took the lead in the top of the 8th, scoring 2 runs, but the Hoosiers answered with 2 of their own, with back-to-back homers by Luke Miller and Logan Sowers after 2 outs in the bottom of the 8th. Cal Kruger picked the win up after a shaky 8th inning with a dominant 9th inning. Paulie Milto again pitched well, going 5 2/3 inning as the starter, giving up 1 unearned run while striking out 7. Sunday, the Hoosiers were able to complete the sweep of the weekend with a walk-off win in the 9th. The Hoosiers surrendered a 3-run lead in the 8th. Cam Beecham, making the start, went 6 solid innings, scoreless, was dominant on the mound. Cade Crisco ran into some 8th-inning trouble, but the Hoosiers won the game with a walk-off single by Scotty Bradley with 2 outs in the bottom of the 9th. Matt Lloyd picked up his first win after almost getting the Hoosiers out of that 8th inning. We inherited a runner on 3rd with nobody out, got the first 2 outs, and unfortunately gave up a softer hit to score the tying run. But the Hoosiers took care of business this week, going 4-0, and now find their record at 15-4, and we move on to Big Ten play in the upcoming weekend. So now it's time to go around the panel and get our Hoosier highlights. I'm going to start off with my Hoosier highlight, and it's going to be Cam Beecham. 6 innings, solidifies the rotation, threw real well on Sunday, and we are starting to see the starting pitching solidify. You've had Tommy Sommer and Connor Maness pitch 4 inning outings at various times as starters. And what I really like about Cam is the possibility as a left-handed starter, in case we run into teams that have a lot of lefty hitters, especially when it comes Big Ten tournament time and maybe in the regional and after that. So pitching and defense is the key to success. And it seems that the pitching is starting to solidify into a regular rotation. And we'll see what happens here in these midweeks. Defense we're going to address later in Cassie's stat segment. So really happy to see Cam Beecham get going on the mound Sunday. So let's go to Chris Feeney for your Hoosier highlight.
Okay. My Hoosier highlight for a really fun weekend, you know, was clutch hitting. I really – much different than in that Pacific series. We had a ton of 2-out RBIs. We had a ton of productive at-bats with guys on base. Elijah Dunham, big RBIs, having a guy. If you score a guy with less than 2 outs, you know what I'm saying? Even if you ground out, get the run home. It was great. Kalaita, right off the bat on Friday, getting a 2-out hit in the first. Justin Walker's grand slam, that was with 2 outs. A lot of 2-out hits. The bottom of the 9th, we had a 2-out walk, a 2-out single, a 2-out intentional walk, and a 2-out walk-off single. So the 2-out RBIs really are the best kind, by the way. But so are scoring guys you know, with less than two outs. If it's a ground out, a pop up, I don't care what it is, get him home. You know, when RBIs count no matter how you get them. And during that Pacific series, I feel like none of that was really happening. And it was such a welcome event to see it over and over and over again this weekend. It was great stuff. And from new faces, whether it was Dunham, Kalaita, Walker, great stuff.
And, you know, you look at our four losses, and several of them we've had opportunities to come from behind in the offense. And short of just the first opening week at the BART with the weather, the offense has been able to score some runs and score some runs late. And you add to that your two out hitting RBIs. I think that this team is really going to be tough to defeat. And as the pitching starts to round out, this just shows how good this Hoosier team is. And we can score at any time. That's very good. Cassie, your Hoosier highlight for this week.
So for me, one of the things that really stood out while watching these games, because some of the obvious, yes, the 18 runs that we scored on Friday and some of the pitching stats were phenomenal. But the thing that stood out to me was our outfield arm strength, particularly Gorski. And this really stood out to me in the Sunday game, in the eighth inning, when they had already put across two runs to bring it within one, and they've got a runner on third with one out, and they hit it to moderate left field. It wasn't shallow by any means. It wasn't deep either. It was middle of left field, and the guy thought about tagging up and going, and he didn't. Because Gorski has such a strong arm. I know it didn't amount to anything because the next guy hit a single, brought him home, but that really stood out to me. And I could shrug it off if as this might be a less than aggressive team when it comes to base running, but we've seen this time and time again already this season. And so teams are learning not to test our outfield arms, especially Gorski's. And that's really stood out to me.
You know, Cassie and I were talking before we went on the air about the importance of defense. And sometimes it's not just about the errors and the number of errors and the number of unearned runs. And we'll get into that later. But one of the good parts of the Indiana baseball defense is our arms. The outfield, people are not taking extra bases. They're not tagging up. I agree with you on that play. I was shocked that they didn't attempt the tying run, especially after losing two games, force the action. That tells you a lot. And then obviously we all love Fineman and what he can do behind the plate. Those are the types of things that help you win ball games and keep games close. It's an unsung part of baseball because there's no official stat necessarily in the box score. Yeah. Very good. Carl, your Hoosier highlight.
My Hoosier highlight is how the last two games were won. And specifically the fact that, yeah, there were mistakes made, and these were close games against lesser competition and the potential for a really bad loss. The fact that the team kept it together, got past the issues, got past the mistakes, kept their head in the game and did what they needed to do and stayed confident to win the game, I thought was very important. And if you go back to the rest of this season, there have been a lot of these late, you know, inning comebacks have had that they're getting the feel that, you know what, we're not out of any game. We can find a way to come back and to not get down just because, hey, we should have won this game. And then suddenly we've given up three runs and we're tied. And, you know, we're just going to keep playing. We're going to keep doing what we need to do. We're going to switch some people up, but you know what, we're going to focus. And it just didn't seem like anybody was panicking. And given this team is well aware of what they're trying to do, and a loss this week would have made things a lot tougher. So the fact that they didn't get frazzled and they just went out and executed and got the wins, I think it shows some, it gives confidence in me as a fan that we may see a lot more of that and against, you know, very good competition going forward.
You know, it is that's an excellent point. As a coach, not a baseball coach, but as a basketball coach, you want your players to handle adversity. And going back a week and losing that tough game to Pacific Bouncing back from that and winning the series was vitally important. And then on the other hand, scoring 18 runs and you have a game of 11-1 and then 18-0, non-veteran teams might not come out and play as well. And you could say, well, they won two close games. But Northern Illinois starting pitching, we talked about in the preview last week, was pretty tough. So I think they handled adversity from game – not adversity, but mental situations from game to game well. And within games, it seems like this team is focused. You use the word focus. I think that's really good. Josh, your Hoosier highlight.
I think I'll shake things up this week. I usually tend to be on the defensive pitching side of things because that's what I like to watch more than anything else. But it was really good to see the long ball return to Bart Kaufman. And almost all of them were big-time spots or a big moment. Kalita setting the tone on Friday night, first at bat, leadoff home run. Great to see. And then later that game, you know, the freshman Justin Walker announcing his presence to Hoosier Nation with a grand slam. I can imagine how that would feel, you know, freshman year, come in, your first career home run's a grand slam. That was a great moment. And then our current version of the Bash Brothers, man, the crowd was the energy had been sucked out when they came in and scored those two runs there in the eighth. And then we get a guy on, get thrown out, trying to advance on the steal. Two outs, nobody on, and then the two big guys stepped up and took care of the game for us. So that was fun to see.
The long ball is a momentum shaker, changer in baseball, and back-to-back is awesome. So
back-to-back give, pitches. The guy only threw two pitches.
True. Want to give a shout-out to Steve Lloyd, Matt Lloyd's father, who follows our show and tweets. He said something about maybe doing a top tweet. Well, he had a really good tweet about Ryan Feinman's picture eating the rib. You know, that Ryan Feinman can take a ribbing, and there's no bones about it. So Steve, I think that you get the award for your own segment, suggesting your own segment. And then the second tweet that I'd like to shout-out is to the IU baseball managers. Love seeing them play a little ping pong for dinner competition. And a shout out to all the managers for what they do for Indiana baseball. I have two sons who have been basketball managers at the D1 level. And you really appreciate as coaches what those managers do behind the scenes. And so it's good to see them tweet out a little bit of their competition while they're probably doing laundry and everything else. So there's a couple tweets of the week, Steve, and thanks for your suggestion. But now we come to the limo hats. And before we turn it over to Chris, I have a little bit of intro music for all right, sorry to all our listeners for that. But if you've ever wondered why the seventh inning stretch is always followed with the hashtag no Lazy Mary, it is a New York Mets tradition to play Lazy Mary, the song you just heard, after the seventh inning stretch. And Chris Feeney, our resident New York Hoosier, has been longing for a little Lazy Mary during the seventh inning. So I thought I'd at least bring it to him during the podcast. But it's now time for the limo hats edition for this week. So 4-0 week, always kind of tough, Feeney. You better be ready for a little bit of a challenge. But it's all yours.
Well, first, thanks a lot. Anytime I can hear Lazy Mary, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, I've been riding that since 2014 at the seventh inning. No Lazy Mary, no Lazy Mary. One day I have faith. One day we're going to get it. And then who knows? People love it, and then it could just stay. So that's we'll right. see about that, I guess.
We need all to have right, it. We need to be time. Sponsored by D'Angelo's in town in Bloomington for –
there's no reason why it shouldn't happen. It really isn't. Nobody's singing and dancing to the song they play now. I can understand if it was like replacing a great tradition. No one cares about that song. Lazy Mary. That's my pick of the week, if I had one. But for the limo hats, again, another hard week to figure this stuff out because we're playing really well. So for those who don't know, we have an Offensive Player of the Week limo hat, and that will lead to the Alex Dickerson Award. We have a Defensive Player of the Week limo hat that will lead to the Tony Butler Award. and then a Pitcher of the Week Limo hat that leads to the Joey Donato Award. So every week we give them out. This week will be no different. The Defensive Player of the Week, Ryan Fineman. How many victims did he have at second base? How many times did he have to block the plate? These guys ran so many of those first and third Little League plays. I don't think any of them worked. You know what I mean? Fineman blocked the plate every time he was getting them. Wasn't there a guy thrown out on Friday? First inning, he blocked the plate for that. Or maybe that was the midweek game, I believe. But either way, Fineman was great. He was not too bad with the bat either, some clutch at-bats. But this is the Defensive Player of the Week, Nemo hat, and that goes to Ryan Fineman. As far as Offensive Player of the Week, you want to talk about a lot of choices. Like I was talking about before, when you have that many clutch at-bats, especially from new faces, Fineman, like I said, a lot of two-out hits, a lot of long at-bats, patient at-bats, people trying to get too big with their swing. But I think the best example, or the two best examples, of somebody not getting overwhelmed by the moment, whether it's two outs, two strikes, whatever the case might be, Luke Miller. He's getting up there. It's an 0-2 count. It's 1-2. And he cracks a ball and ties the game. That was incredible. And then forget about what he did a couple days before. He hits the fence on a fly for the cheap seats. It wasn't over the fence, but it basically hit it. It went through it. I haven't seen a right-handed bat do that. I don't think ever. That was a bomb. So Miller gets it. Oh, and the other one, how about after Matt Lloyd walks, he hits it right up the middle, gets it to the next guy. Doesn't try to hit a 10-run home run and then strike out in the inning. No. Bang, up the middle. They walk sour. Scotty Braley does his thing. So Offensive Player of the Week, Limo hat, is Luke Miller. Defensive player, like we talked about, is Ryan Fineman. And yes, I'm stalling because I know everybody's waiting to see about the Pitcher of the Week Limo hat. No offense to the Big Ten. No offense to Chris Webb. But mine's going to Cam Beecham. Okay, Cam's getting the Pitcher of the Week Limo hat. Stever was great. I'm not saying he wasn't. The guy was outstanding. And I am convinced he had a dinner reservation because I've never seen a guy pitch that quick. He wanted to be home, dressed, out with his girl or something by 8:30. I believe that. But Cam is pitching in a nothing-nothing game. And it's a totally different story. Carl brought it up. You can't lose to these guys. Like, for you might sure. not want to say. Yeah, like before the series starts, you don't want to say we really can't lose to this. But we can. We got to beat them. And we're not scoring any runs inning after inning. And Cam is just throwing zero after zero after zero. Carl was at the basketball. He texted me, like, is his line as good? Like, is it this good? I was like, oh, yeah. He's great. You know what I'm saying? He's hitting spots. I don't believe he walked anybody. He might have hit a guy, right?
No, one hit by pitch.
One hit by pitch. He was amazing to watch. I just love watching him pitch. You know, he's got the attitude. Mm-hmm. He's got everything. It just needs an opportunity. He looks real good in red to me. I say we keep him as a Sunday guy. It was great. So Cam gets his first Pitcher of the Week Limo hat. Luke Miller gets the Offensive Player. Ryan Fineman, the Defensive Player for, what are we in, week five, right? The week five Limo hats.
You know, we've had a lot of controversy with the Limo hats, but I think this is probably your best selection so far. It's hard when you score 29 runs in the first two games to not find more offensive players. And, you know, Sowers with the game-winning home run. You had two guys with four hits in the Friday night game. I'll throw it out to anyone who wants to throw out a cheese hat recipient. Go ahead, take the floor if you have a honorable mention Limo. Cassie, Josh, anybody?
I've got one, but I'll wait. You guys go through it.
All right, go ahead, Cassie. Do you have an honorable mention?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with it. It wasn't the prettiest performance ever, but I'm gonna go Matty Lloyd for his pitching performance yesterday, because he came in almost cold. He had a little bit of time after his at-bat to get down to the bullpen, throw a few pitches, run back out to first base, and then immediately come in when all of a sudden the game seems to be imploding with a double, a triple. And yes, he did let the run score, but that's coming into an almost impossible situation with a runner on third and no outs. And he almost got out of it. He threw a lot more pitches than he normally does, but again, he had almost no bullpen time. So I'm giving him credit for this one.
You know, Cassie, I like that a lot. And we could also go to Cal Kruger, who had a tough eighth inning and came back and mowed him down in the ninth.
And, Cal has five wins and no lead lads.
So there's a little bit of toughness there, and what we talked about earlier about handling adversity. You know, Lloyd could have been frustrated getting two outs and then giving up a hit to tie the game. But once we got the lead, he just came out as a bulldog and finished the game. Cal Kruger, the game before, could have been disappointed about giving up two runs, one of which was unearned. Nope, we took the lead on the back-to-backers, comes in and shuts it down. And that's a sign of real tough-minded pitchers. And going back to Feeney with Beecham, tough-minded, 0-0 every inning, no room for error, pounding. You know, this is what. Yes, we're playing teams that we should beat, but there's games within the game, and it's how you play that really matters. And I, not that we're experts by any means, we watch a lot, but you see those little things from the defensive arms to the toughness coming back from certain situations to the 0-2 hitting. Those are things that mark a good baseball club. Carl, honorable mention, Limo Hat.
I'm going to give a little odd one just because of the situation that the team is in, and that's Wyatt Cross, because he was – I mean, obviously he got on base a ton in the game that they scored a lot in. He walked a lot. He got a hit, a big hit with RBIs. But just the fact that he's getting the trust from the coach to be able to play a lot and give Ryan Feinman a chance to take a break, which is going to be so critical for this team come May and June, that Feinman is not beat up by the catching position over the course of the season. So having someone that you can go to that can make an impact and make a positive impact and keep Ryan be able in good shape for the rest of the season, I think is something I was very glad to see.
And we've talked a lot about the depth of this ball club, and we're still trying to figure out a little bit about second base, but depth is very good. Scotty Bradley comes in. Josh, who's your honorable mention, Chiefs hat, Limo hat?
Okay, so to set the stage, Saturday I was standing up on the rail on the right field line above the visiting bullpen, and there's a fly ball into the corner. And the guy comes over and makes what looks like a catch to the umpire. No one else in the ballpark thought that at all. Everybody was going nuts. And I'm usually one to complain or get on an umpire. I have no problem voicing my opinion on that stuff. But I just hear this guy going nuts, irate. And I turn to my left and see this guy with his purple face. And I'm hoping he's not going to stroke out. But he kept it very family friendly. And so this is against my better judgment, but I'm going to give my cheese hat to Mr. New York and the mayor for not letting him fly when my kid was 2 feet away. I hate to encourage it, but he did a good job to control it. Because like I said, everybody was going nuts. It was horrible.
That was the worst call I'd ever seen. So
that's my cheese hat.
All right, I got a cheese hat.
I hate to feed the monster.
Man. I didn't curse. I you don't curse.
You did good. You did good. It would have been very easy to.
Oh yeah. No, you know what I thought you were gonna do? I thought you were gonna give one to the kid who almost caught the ball in his hat. That was an amazing play. What a play!
If he'd caught it, we would have.
Yeah, you guys should have to catch it to get it right. This kid almost made an amazing play catching a foul ball in his hat, like with his hat up and caught it. Yeah. Oh, man, that would have been a classic play. But, yeah, you can't curse in that situation. There's too many kids over there.
I've got to save room for a cheese hat. Honorable mention to Scotty Bradley. Anytime you hit a walk-off and got to run away from your teammates into right field in a clutch situation, especially coming off the bench when you're not getting regular at-bats. Again, the depth of this team is impressive. The readiness for people to come in and to pick up players when someone has an off day is amazing, and it's fun to watch, and we hope that it continues. So we're going to send it over to Carl for a little RPI talk about what this week has meant for Indiana's RPI numbers.
Yes. All right. Well, we're looking at if you're looking at the real-time RPI, it looks pretty darn ugly this past week. The opponents, our opponents for the year, had just a bad week for the most part, especially the midweek. So we did know it was going to be rough for real-time RPI coming in due to the fact that the five scheduled games over the week were against the worst two teams on the schedule. And when you're this early in the season, that accounts for actually, I think, a quarter of the entire RPI, the entire opponent's schedule up to this point. So we knew it was going to look pretty bad. A few things happened. One, IU won four games, so four games were won, and the fifth game was not played. So those things, the fact that the fifth game was not played and that the wins happened, actually was kind of a wash with the fact that our opponents had such a bad week. So overall, the picture that I have for the year actually hasn't changed much. It's all about a wash. Now I know if some people are looking at that real time strength of schedule and they're like, ooh, keep in mind 20% of that right now is exclusively, Northern and Western Illinois. And they are not only are they generally lower tier teams that don't win a lot of games, they do really bad at the beginning of the season because that's when they challenge themselves with playing teams like Indiana. They get their wins in their conference schedule. And in fact, Western finally got their first win when they got into conference. And you know, these two teams last year were actually doing worse at this point of the year. And they went on to combined win 30 games. So I think they're not going to be a great help, but the next portion of their schedule will be a big help. Also keep in mind that San Diego has been struggling a bit of late. They're now 10-10. And you know, they're in a struggle, but they're getting ready to get into their conference season, and no one is really doubting that they're going to do well in the WCC. So that's another team that we played four times. So that's another, right now it's 20% of our current strength of schedule is 10-10. And that's going to turn out to be a lot better. And then, you know, then it's really comes down to what's going to be going on in the Big Ten. And that is a big question mark because Indiana has been, as predicted, Indiana's looking like the class of the Big Ten. Penn State, as predicted, is looking like the back end of the Big Ten. The rest of it has been a surprise all over the place. Minnesota beat TCU over the weekend. That was one exception to the lack of performance among Big Ten teams and among our opponents. But there have been some other Big Ten teams that have done well. Purdue got off to a great start. I guess I'm going to get fined again. Sorry, but they've been doing horrible over the last 2 weeks. I think they haven't like won a game in 2 weeks now. So it's like, where are they? Or which is that team from the North? Which one are they? And you know, we're going to find out before too long. But that's one example. Illinois has been massively on the rise. Last year they were expected to be decent and weren't. This year, based on last year, they didn't think they were going to be all that great, and they've been quite good. Ohio State's been quite good. Rutgers has been quite good.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that are way, way up in the air. And in fact, I reran the strength of schedule numbers, and they were completely different than what I did based on 2017. And to be honest, I'm not at all confident in them because I just don't know what's going to happen once these teams all start playing each other. So it's one of those we really just don't know, and it's going to be very interesting going forward. And I'll be keeping the numbers, but I'm not as confident in overall predictions right now just because there's a lot of confusion out there, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
And the key thing is to keep winning our ball games and control what we can control, and then root like crazy for the RPI to turn in our direction. So thank you, Carl, for that. We're going to head over to Cassie now and for some stats of the week. Cassie.
Yeah, so this week I looked at unearned versus earned runs and kind of errors in general, because it seems like we've had a few games where we let errors kind of dictate things a bit. And so on the season, the Hoosiers have given up 50 earned runs and 12 unearned runs on, I have 24 errors. And so we're giving up about 0.6 runs per game thanks to errors. And on average, about every other error is a painful one where we're letting something score. And Poor Timmy Herron has been on the bad side of this. Three of his 10 runs given up have been unearned. Hobby, it's 2 out of his 6. Cal has 2 out of his 3 are unearned. Cam has 1 of each, so 50%. Stever has also got a pair of unearned runs, but it's a smaller proportion. It's only about 13% of his. So we're giving up some runs thanks to errors. And to put this in perspective, IU has had 7 one-run games, 2 of them being losses, and 2 two-run games. So almost half of the games so far have been within 2 runs. And out of these games, 4 of them have had at least 1 unearned run, with the Rutgers game having 3 and the second NIU game having 2. So that's 4 of the 9 really close games having at least 1 unearned run. And 4 of those games were also multi-error games. The odd ball error every now and again, it happens. But it seems like at times we're letting these errors snowball, either committing multiple errors in an inning or letting those errors kind of lead to hit after hit and run and run and run. And so sometimes these multi-errors don't have much of an impact. You have 1 in the 2nd inning and 1 in the 8th inning, and they don't amount to anything. That happened in the Rutgers game. There was 1 multi-error inning that didn't amount to anything because the guy got caught at second base. So things like that happen. But for example, the 8th inning of the last San Diego game, the Hoosiers committed consecutive errors in that 8th inning, and it seemed to get a little out of hand after that, with a couple of hits and a fielder's choice, and things just kind of kept going. Luckily, they were up 8-2 at that point, but we've seen these snowball from time to time. So while these errors and unearned runs may not have impact on all of these close games, it is something to watch. If we're giving up pretty darn close to 1 unearned run a game, that's something to watch. And talking about watch, looking at the upcoming weather, the new Wednesday game.
Oh, Wednesday.
Looks to be maybe a bit breezy and not particularly warm still. High of 43, low of 21, so it's going to be somewhere between there. Friday, it's actually going to be not too horrible in Iowa. Low 50s, not bad this time of year. But it is going to drop to just above freezing, and there's a slight chance of wet. So those two things combined could potentially lead them to bumping the game time up a little bit. But it's also, remember, it's in Central Time Zone, so I'm happy. I get to get home from work pretty much before it starts as of now, which makes me very happy. And then Saturday and Sunday, if anyone is making the trip to Iowa, you probably better bring a poncho, because it's going to be wet. It's looking like rain but not storms on Saturday with some 20-plus-mile-an-hour winds. Sunday, it's looking to be cloudy, and temps are going to be in the low to mid-40s all weekend. So it's not going to be probably the prettiest baseball, because it's going to be cold and wet, and that never leads to error-free ball.
Well, Cassie, that's been a big thing for me so far. If there were one situation that I'm concerned with, it's the defensive play overall, and 0.6 runs per game. And like you said, coming in close games matters. And the other thing, too, is that errors, whether they score or not, add up to pitch counts. And then bullpen, and when you're in a weekend, multiple runners. And it's also been sometimes the plays that haven't been made that maybe were not classified as an error. The positive of our defense, as mentioned earlier, are our arms from behind the plate in the outfield. But we've got to shore that up to give our pitchers the best chance to compete on a night-in and night-in basis. But that's been a concern to me, is the overall defense at this point needs to be a little better. So appreciate that. Josh, we send it to you for the story of the week.
Okay, thanks, Brian. I'd like to talk about the family-friendly atmosphere that we have at the BART. Now that it's starting to warm up, I'd like to encourage everyone to get the family out and come have a great time. A lot of good promos. And then also the Hoosier Bullpen Club. It's great for the kids. They get rewarded for attending a certain amount of games. They have, if you hit 5 games, you get a backpack. If you hit 10 games, you get a mini bat. 15 games, you get a youth hat. And 20 games, if you can make that many, which if you haven't been to one yet, I think you're mathematically eliminated on that one. But if you can get to 20, you get to throw out a first pitch on the kids club day. And even if you don't get to go to a bunch of them, after each game, the kids get to go down onto the field and run the bases. You can play catch with your kid out there. The only rule they have is don't step foot on the pitcher's mound. They're pretty strict about that one. But you get to go up and talk to the players. They stay in the dugout and wait around, sign autographs, take pictures. And my experience, you can't tell whether they've won or lost. They're just outstanding with the kids every game. Now, an 18-0 win, walk-off win, they may have a little more bounce in their step. But even on tough losses, come from behind losses, they last year especially a couple times, the guys are really great with Drew, and they don't care. They love the kids. So I'd encourage everyone to get their kids out there for that. And then also some of the promotions. Every Tuesday night is a Kids Eat Free night, so bring your kid there and they get a dog and a drink. And then a couple of Drew's favorite promos. On Saturday, March 31st, they have an Easter egg hunt after the game. They put eggs down on the field, and you can go take the kids out there, and they'll provide a bag if you don't bring your basket, and they can go get those. And then also probably the best night of the year, April 14th this year, is firework night. It's fun to see fireworks after the game at the BART. And then my favorite is throwback night, and this year that's on April 18th. The umpires have the old school uniforms on. Both teams have old school uniforms. And then they also have an organist there, which I kind of like that. I'm not a huge rap guy, so I know some people don't like not having their walk-up music, and I think last year they did play the walk-up music and just the organ between, but I enjoy the throwback. And then Nancy's favorite day every year is senior day, and this year that's May 19th, the last home game. Get to go out and watch the seniors' ceremony and thank them for what they've given to us as fans. And you can go to iuhoosiers.com and click on the promo to get the dates. There are other dates or other promos that they have going on, but I just like to encourage everyone, especially now that it's warming up, to get everybody out to the BART. It's a great time. They could use your support.
Thanks, Josh. One of the best things is the family-friendly atmosphere at the BART. It's a great place to watch a game. There are areas for kids to go and run around. And then seeing the pictures of you and Drew and on the field afterwards, I think I'm going to be Drew's uncle so I can get on the field and play catch one of these days.
You've got Uncle Balk.
Okay, yeah.
You've got Uncle Balk to compete with, or you can just be Uncle Captain. So
I'm going to go down on the field. But, you know, it's just one of the things that Indiana baseball and IU athletics does really well, and I'm sure they do it with a lot of sports in the Bloomington area that a lot of people don't hear about. But it's nice to have the players to stick around and take pictures, and you've seen several of them on our Instagram and Twitter feeds of the – post-game stuff, just fantastic. Well, this week we have a midweek game. It's been moved to Wednesday against Wright State, and we also have our first Big Ten excursion on the road to Iowa. Chris Feeney, tell us a little bit about these upcoming games.
All right, we got Wright State. They're the Raiders. They're out of the Horizon League. They're 11-7, but they're just 5-6 on the road. So last year they were 38-21. They were 21-9 in conference, which gave them second in the Horizon. And the coaches actually voted them to finish first this year in their conference. So this team, you know, this team's all right. And they have one real big hitter I was looking at, Gabe Snyder, number 30. This is a big boy, 6'5", 250, first baseman, senior. He's hitting 306. He's got about 17 RBIs. He's out of Millersburg, Ohio. This guy's a big fella. He's going to be looking to hit the ball out. Hopefully, not at the BART. You know what I mean? He had 10 home runs 2 years ago, 13 home runs last year. Just has the two so far this year. But, I mean, I'm sure when the weather warms up, balls get out a little quicker wherever he's playing. They also have number 40, Peyton Burdick. He's hitting 351, 16 RBIs, 11 walks, 4 steals. Reminds me of a number 11 a little bit, looking at his numbers. So I guess that's their leadoff, do everything type of guy. He's a sophomore out of Batavia, Ohio. I'm not sure where that is, but hopefully we don't see him do too much on Wednesday. Let's see. Their last midweek game, I found this pretty interesting. Their last midweek game was against Cincinnati, and they faced the same pitcher we did, and they knocked him out in the second inning, getting 8 runs off of him. And this guy owned us. So they got some bats. They definitely have some bats. The good situational hitting. Obviously, you're going to jump all over that starter. Coleman, I believe his name was. He really pitched well. Kept the ball down on us, threw a heavy ball. We couldn't find really anything off of him. And they knocked him out in the second inning to win that game. They score a lot of runs. They've played 18 games. In 9 of them, they've scored 7 runs or more. So this is a high-scoring team. And couldn't do too much with the alumni, but I did find ex-Met pitcher, ex-Angels pitcher. He's currently on the Astros. He pitches a little similar to BJ, Joe Smith, if anybody knows him. He's a Wright State grad. I was at a Met-Yankee game, and he got a huge strike out of A-Rod one day. So I'm a big Joe Smith fan. Maybe he'll he won't be there. He's going to be working at spring training. He's not going to be at the BART. But Joe Smith is a Wright State Raider. That's pretty much it for alumni for them. I could just jump right over to the Big Ten opening series for Iowa. We're playing at Duane Banks Field. A lot of people who might have attended the Big Ten tournament last year at the BART, they know a little bit about Iowa, I'm sure. Rick Heller coach team, great defense. Play smart. They're not going to choke away a game or anything. You know what I mean? These are going to be close games. They're going to be tight. D1 in the beginning of the year had them picked 5th in the conference, but Carl touched on it. This conference isn't playing out the way that we thought. So, they're 11-6. They're undefeated at home. So this is they've only played 4 games, but they are 4-0. We're going to have to knock, put a 1, 2, or a 3 there, get rid of that 0. They've played Evansville. They just swept Evansville on the road. It was a road sweep. And then they played the last game. Oh, excuse me. They have 2 midweeks coming up this week where we only have 1. They have 2. So that's something to look at. They're going to play St. Louis and Loras College. So maybe that'll, burn the bullpen a little bit more, hopefully. Their big prospect is Robert Nystrom. He's actually he's an outfielder number 44. He's supposed to be the top MLB draft prospect in the conference, from what D1 was saying. He's hitting 359, slugging 547. He's got 3 home runs, 16 runs scored. Sounds like a real 5-tool guy. Great defense, great arm, the whole thing. He's got 35 total bases already. Another guy I look for is Kyle Crowell, number 23. He's a sophomore infielder. He's got 3 bombs, 14 RBIs, 16 runs scored, 31 total bases. So these guys can score. Let's see. Their best pitcher looks like number 24, Nick Algier. Looks like he was a bullpen guy 2 years ago. Then he had Tommy John, and now he's their stud pitcher. He's 2-1 with a 1.76 ERA. He's got 28 Ks already. He's a lefty. Sounds like he's a big strikeout guy. He's going to be a challenge. They're obviously not the same team that we saw in the tournament. They're -1 big bat that we remember seeing hitting bombs out of the BART. Jake Adams, Astros drafted him. He was fun to watch, I got to say. That whole thing was a really good time watching them play. Hopefully they don't do as well this weekend as they did at the BART. Let's see, what else we got? They've had 3 different games where they've thrown 3 wild pitches. So that's something to look for. If we got a guy on third base or any base, really, for whatever reason, they're throwing a lot of wild pitches. And not Algeier, not the best pitcher, but other pitchers seem to be a little wild in the walk department too. They have a few games where they've had 8 walks each, 2 or 3 games. So, keep an eye on the strike zone, of course. Let's see what else. They're graduates. Now, I'm not saying you're going to Iowa City, but if you do, you might see Nicholas Meyer. I don't know. Carl might know him. He might not. I don't know. He's the director of Wrath of Khan.
Big Star Trek movie. That's what I thought maybe call him. I know who he was. And just one thing to really, you know, if you're at the games, be really, I don't want to say, have your radar up. If something doesn't seem right, if something seems a little odd, you might be getting punked. Because Ashton Kutcher is a graduate. So really be careful. Like, if something seems odd, he might be there. He might be bringing back that show. So Ashton Kutcher, keep an eye out for him. Don't get punked. So that's it. You got the three-game weekend in Iowa.
And, you know, it's a bit first Big Ten, and I'm looking forward to a winning series. Would you like to get three? Yes. 2-1 coming back would be great.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And so that's what we have to look forward to. Final thoughts for this week. We'll start with you, Carl. What are your final thoughts on Indiana baseball?
Yes, we get it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My final thoughts are just really looking forward to seeing the conference get going and see what the various teams in the conference do facing each other, because it, as I said, it's just been a surprise so far, and I'm curious to see how our team does and if the strength of this starting pitching can continue into conference play.
Cassie, your final thoughts.
Well, it wasn't always pretty this weekend, but the team found ways to win many, many different ways. And it was probably as good a time for directional Illinois week as we're going to get, because it really did give an opportunity to wake the bats back up, get a little bit more confidence going, hitting with two outs, advancing runners, getting those timely hits, and being more patient at the plate. I mean, on Friday, 11 walks on Friday. That's nuts. So having the opportunity to kind of work some of these kinks back out, this was probably as good a time as we could have for that.
Josh, your final thoughts.
Yeah, I think the non-conferences prepared them to be ready to enter conference play, especially the, like what Cassie just said, the timing. We got the bats heated back up a little bit. Beecham being able to go out there and get his first start of the year. And then, you know, in the past, Manus and Summer, you know, probably should be lined up pretty well for the midweek stuff. So I think we've got the rotation figured out. We're a matured season team. Sunday was the eighth win that we've had this season when we've been tied or behind after the seventh inning. So nothing's gonna get them down. I mean,
that's more than half the wins.
Yeah,
and we saw 15 wins.
Yeah, we saw this weekend. Yep, eight. Wow. Sunday was the eighth win, tied or trailing after seven. So, yeah, I think we're ready, and the non-conference prepared us. And I'd like to wish everyone making the road trip over to Iowa City safe travels, because we talked to quite a few people that were going to be doing that. So I'm ready to go get this conference underway.
Very good. Mr. Feeney, your final thoughts?
Definitely looking forward, Big Ten. It's not easy. No, nothing is guaranteed. You're talking about, let's just, you know, win the series. I never really think road sweep. It's not easy. Every Big Ten game is hard. It's different. It's conference. We know each other. Maybe we didn't play them last year, but we play them through the years. These coaches aren't new. We know the systems. These are going to be hard games. I'm really looking forward to the conference games. I think it's kind of good we're starting off on the road. Let these guys bond. You know, when they go on road trips, it's totally different. Let them bond. I know Roger probably has to do a little more work when they're on the road, but I'm sure he looks forward to that too. And wish the guys, like Josh said, safe travel, the whole thing. Come back with two W's, man. Win the series on the road. That'd be great to see.
And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that we're up to 11th in the rankings on D1. I know there's several ranking services out there, but is that a correct statement? I haven't been on a D1 site yet today.
Yes, it is 11. I listened to their whole podcast, and again, they didn't mention Indiana at all, so they didn't really give me any specific reasoning as to why, but there was a lot of movement with a lot of the other teams, particularly, well, with the SEC started play this past week, and the ACC has been going for 2 weeks. So that has caused a lot of shuffling among the top 25. Yeah.
And so, you know, we find ourselves when we looked at the preseason that I think we had five losses at this time would be a pretty good measuring stick, and we're ahead of that schedule. So we're doing well. We're fighting through some things. We're finding some pitchers. Our bats have been alive for the most part, overcome a little downstretch, something to look forward. Also, yes, we want to win every game. Understand this, that in almost every year, you're going to have a rough stretch in Big Ten play. You want to avoid getting swept, especially on the road. You'd like to win on the road. If not, it's not the negative that end of the season, you got games to play and can make them up in some other places. So I think this team is ready. We've had a good non-conference schedule. Let's win the midweek and go out to Iowa City and get the job done. So that'll do it for this week's Talking Hoosier Baseball. Please find all future podcasts on Sports Talk with Tonsoni, which can be found on your favorite podcast source, as well as under the Talking Hoosier Baseball tab on iubase.com. Please follow iubase.com on Twitter. The handle is at iubase17. Follow Talking Hoosier Baseball also on Twitter at @CUatTheBart. And visit iubase.com to see other articles and other posts from our team. And for all of these awesome people here that join us every week, I'm Brian Tonsoni. Go Hoosiers. See you at the Bart. To see my baby.